RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Our New York State correspondent, Tatiana Coppinger, lifelong camper and married to another lifelong camper, Jay. They have two kids and two very large Labrador retrievers. They typically camp in state park campgrounds in New York and Vermont with the occasional sojourn to Myrtle Beach, Cape Cod, or wherever some event or wanderlust takes them. Welcome back to the show, Tatiana.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you back. And I have a list a mile long of the campgrounds that we want you to review. So we'll have you back again and again.
I'm up for the challenge. Yeah.
Well, on this episode, we are going to review one of those campgrounds that the occasional sojourn takes you to, right? Where are we going to this week?
We are going to the controversial and sometimes divisive Pirate Land Campground in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
We are going to go there, but first we want to thank our sponsor, Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comforts of a cabin, or you prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities. From water zones to mini-golf to themed weekends and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds. And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that's also close to home. Visit campjellystone.com to find a Jellystone Park near you, and you could probably find one that's open year round now, which is what you should be looking for. All right. Are you ready to dive into the divisive, or should we say controversial and sometimes divisive, campground of Pirate Land in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina?
I am ready.
All right. And everybody needs to know what a good sport you are, because we actually referenced you in an RVFTA podcast where this campground came up, because we just say it's so funny every time Pirate Land comes up on Facebook or somewhere else on some camping forum or something like that. You'll get a bunch of people chiming in saying that they love this campground. They go there every single year. They wouldn't, you know, miss it for the world. And then you get this other side of people that start talking about why they hated that campground or they don't stay there, why there's a million other options in Myrtle Beach to go to. And you jumped right on the train and you said, I'm coming on, I'm reviewing this campground. You know, it's one of my favorites. And we are really glad for you to stand behind your Pirate Land on this episode.
It hurts me when people hate it so much, because I love it. And I have a history going back to 1987 with this campground. So it's an emotional topic for me, Stephanie. And when you called me out, what could I do but get my campground review together?
Awesome. All right, good. I'm glad that this is an emotional topic for you. I think you're really well representative of like the actual conversation about Pirate Land out there. And you're also representative of the people that go back there year after year. And we know that Myrtle Beach is that kind of a destination, right? People get used to going there, and there's also a lot of campgrounds to choose from. So, you know, people look and they say, where do I stay? And it can almost be overwhelming. So we've reviewed the Myrtle Beach KOA. There's also, we've also highly recommended, we've been to the Myrtle Beach State Park and we've been to Huntington Beach State Park. And now this is another great option, but for different reasons than the other ones that we've recommended. So we're really glad for you to give that option of that sort of more resort campground in Myrtle Beach. So give people a sort of idea of where this is located geographically.
Okay. Well, as you know, Myrtle Beach is halfway between New York and Miami. So it's 683 miles between the two points. And I reference that because those of us who live in the Northeast in the spring, we all do the Great Northern Migration and head south to warmer temperatures. And we usually wind up in Myrtle Beach. More people from New York are in Myrtle Beach in the spring than people from Myrtle Beach. But it's Pirate Rillion Campground is located at the end of what's considered the Grand Strand in Myrtle Beach, and it's wedged in a whole row of different campgrounds, some that I won't mention because that would be divisive, and then it's actually within walking distance to Myrtle Beach State Campground.
Right, so you can walk along the beach.
North.
Okay, right, you can walk south along the beach.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's there's a little residential area in between, and then there's the Pirate Land Campground. It's north of Merle's Inlet, which is a little more sedate and not as touristy as the north part of Myrtle Beach, but it's more a local but yet welcome to tourist area. But it's in that general area before you get to Huntington State Park, too.
Right. Okay. So for some of the people that are trying to figure out that Grand Strand map, this is on the southern end, and it's down there with the Myrtle Beach State Park and a bunch of other, like you mentioned, those some of those resort campgrounds. This is further south than the Myrtle Beach KOA that we've reviewed. And a lot of other people stay at the Myrtle Beach Travel Park, and that's north of this. So those are just some of your geographical options when you're visiting. All right. So now talk about the campground itself. Like, give us a feel, because I think the feel is very important when you think about whether you want to stay here or not. When you enter into Pirate Land Campground, like, what are you seeing? How does it feel?
When you enter in, first of all, there's a guard shack that you come through, and it's there's a locked gate after midnight. There's constantly, you know, people there to direct you where to go. I don't know if it's necessary to have this level of security, but it's also very comforting to know that people aren't just driving through. And when your kids are, you know, touring all over the campground, it is comforting to me to know that there's people that are right there. Off to the left, there's golf cart rental. To the right is the main check-in and the concierge service that they provide. And then as you drive into the campground, there's a main thoroughfare, and they do have annual rentals. They have quite a few annual rentals. And then there's various parts of the park. To me, it's a very large park because you know that we're state and public campground people, and this is way different for us. But it was interesting tonight. I asked my family how many sites they thought that were in Pirate Land. And my son, he's like, well, it's a pretty big one. It's probably 200 sites. And my husband says, it's probably about 400. I said, how about 2,100? And they said, really? Yeah. And it's just because it's broken up in different sections. It doesn't seem that big.
Okay, so there are different sections. It's not just one of those places where there's just the straight up and down rows with campers kind of stacked.
Right. They have that closer to the ocean because, you know, ocean's prime mm-hmm. property, and they try to get as many campers in because people want to be within that, you know, the short walk to the beach. But there's other parts that are, you know, more wooded and treed and kind of meander around in curves and, you know, the different areas, some with the vacation rentals and cabins and some, you know, like there's some tent sites and some just regular campsites, but with trees and a little bit more like what you would see in other campgrounds.
Okay, so you can pretty much take your pick of whether you want one of those close to the beach campsites that's going to be a little more rack'em and stack'em, would you say, or you move somewhere else that has a little more shade and a little more privacy?
Exactly. They're all pretty tight because this is, you know, it's oceanfront property, but the rack'em and stack'em is definitely on the most the ocean front sites. I mean, and there's a big dune that separates it, but they're awning to awning. You know, they're very stacked in that part. But it doesn't seem that bad when you have the ocean 50 feet from your trailer door.
Well, and we try to tell that to people all the time. Like when you're, you know, wanting that ocean, that beach, all, that pool, all of those things are what you're there for, not your individual campsite at a lot of these places. So tell us about the price that we're paying here. We know that beachfront camping is oftentimes more expensive, and this is a pretty hot destination. So is this going to break the bank?
You know, it surprises me every time. And like, you know, I'm a state campground person where we're getting sites for $20 a night or less. This ranges from $48 to $80. And these are full hookup sites, which blows me away that I can be 50 feet from the ocean and paying at most of, on a prime summer night, $80 for a full hookup site.
I think that that's actually a pretty low price compared to a lot of resort camping prices on the beach, which we normally end up in the range of $100 to $110, especially down along the eastern coast. Yeah.
Absolutely. And actually, they have, you know, vacation rentals, two- and three-bedroom rentals, and they range from $93 to $185. And that's, again, the peak season in the summer. And you can't get a hotel room in Myrtle Beach for that much.
Yeah, and that's better than a hotel room. So what about booking? I mean, do I need to book this a year in advance in order to get one of those prime spots? Or is this one of those places that you can kind of do last minute?
I'll tell you, through the years, this past spring when we were there, we did book it last fall because we were traveling with another family. And we wanted, there were certain sites that we wanted. And so knowing that the Great Northern Migration happens, you know, during Easter break, we booked them. Because if you book it and you pay for the full week, you can book site specific. If you book less than a full week, then you're kind of at their mercy. There's six different categories of campsites, but you can make a request, but you're not guaranteed. But if you book for an entire week and pay for a week up front, you get your specific site. So we did this last fall so that we would be guaranteed some sites. But a couple of years ago when we went, I literally called on Palm Sunday and we were there on Easter Sunday. So you just never know, you know, depends kind of on the weather. If the weather's really bad, you know, for the winter and spring starts heating up in the south, people go. But in the summertime, I guess it is quite busy. You know, when we were there this spring, there probably wasn't more than a dozen campsites open, where in previous years, it's been half full. So I guess it really kind of depends on the year and the season, but we've had pretty good luck every time we've ever called.
Okay, so it's worth a shot. Like if somebody has a last minute ability to head south, or the weather, you know, they didn't want to plan something far in advance because they weren't sure about the weather in April because it can be iffy. If they look, it looks like it's going to be a great week. Try it. You might get lucky as the Coffingers have gotten lucky. All right, now let's move into some of the activities and the amenities, because I really think that this is probably where we're going to kind of find out why this is such a special place for your family. You know, why don't you just kind of describe to people what a typical RV vacation for you guys is like at Pirateland?
Well, what we look for when we go to the ocean is we love the ocean, we love the sand, we love the surf. Knowing that the weather can be unpredictable, we also have to have a pool. And this is what my husband and I debate every time, because he always wants to go to Myrtle Beach State Park. And I said, the problem is they don't have a pool. Mm-hmm. And we've been there in the spring where it's been 50 degrees and the water's been, you know, 50 degrees. And that doesn't work when you have kids or adults who don't want to be in the cold water.
Yeah.
So we look for a pool, and they have they actually have a couple pools. They have an Olympic-sized pool. They have a splash ground that just opened a few years ago, pirate ship and buckets that tip over and everything that little kids want to play in until they're blue. They have a lazy river that's where you will find Mrs. Coffinger the entire time that she's in the pool, just floating on a tube. And they also have an indoor pool and jacuzzi, which on those cold days where sometimes, you know, you just want to go on vacation and it's springtime and why is it freezing out? Well, let's go to the indoor pool. And that has, you know, salvaged many a vacation for us with small children. But that's just the water. And you have a half mile of beachfront that is just for the Pirateland people. It's open. People can come and go. But it's typically only the Pirateland people that are hanging out there. We do take a morning walk down to the Myrtle Beach State Park fishing pier because it's about a mile and a half north. It makes for a great walk in the morning. We go up there, we watch the fishermen because there's very serious fishing that happens up there. Back at our campground, at the Pirateland campground, there's kayak rentals, paddle boat rentals. There's an activity center, a rec room, which they have all kinds of activities, you know, planned throughout the day. Things like hula hoop contests, basketball contests, relay races. There's hole-in-one golf tournaments. They have a mini golf, an 18-hole mini golf there. Let's see, basketball courts, tennis courts, an arcade, which, you know.
Right, I know, we all know how we
feel. But sometimes the kids.
It can be nice and it can be obnoxious. It depends. But, you know, like speaking of nice or obnoxious, because I think it has to do with, too, where your kids are at in their journey in life. And so your kids have been coming here or, you know, going on family vacations to Pirateland for a large span of their age range. And do you feel like this is the kind of campground that really serves all of those different ages well?
Absolutely. The first time our son went, he was 14 months old. And they had, at the time, they had two different playgrounds. One of them was the old wooden style that they've taken down. I think they're probably going to wind up replacing it. But they had a fairly new playground that he was on every day. And there was a kiddie pool for him. And he loved it. The kids have gone every couple of years their entire lives. And, you know, now they're at the point because they're 12 and 13. This past year, you know, we were letting them ride their bikes all over. They were going up to the arcade. They were going to the pool. They would just ride the bikes around. They were going fishing. There's some interior lakes, and they could go fishing. We would send them up to the camp store. I mean, they were perfectly fine. They feel like it's a small campground to them, and they have grown up there. And they will say, "This is just like home to us." We feel it's fairly safe. I mean, there's only so much we can do to make sure that they're perfectly safe when they're out of our site, but, you know, they have their phones on them.
That's part of growing up, right?
it is, and we make them stay together. That's the only caveat. They have to stay together. But they are growing independent, and we see a ton of kids around in all ages. So
now, speaking of cell phones, you mentioned their cell phones. Do they get consistent cell phone, you know, like cell service throughout the campground so you can rely on that? And how's the Wi-Fi for those teens, you know, or early teens?
Cell service is great. Wi-Fi has some spotty issues. And, you know, luckily they tell you in the campground handbook when you first check in, they give you like this entire magazine and all these things, a welcome package. And it says, you know, there is Wi-Fi. It's free. But when there's a lot of people using it, it's going to be not the best. And, you know, I wouldn't be downloading anything. I was able to check work emails. We weren't streaming any movies.
Right.
And the kids weren't exactly thrilled that they couldn't watch videos all the time. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sad about that because I'd rather them be outside. So I think it actually works to a benefit that Wi-Fi isn't that great.
Right, right. You're one of those families that embraces the opportunity to disconnect, like forced disconnection sometimes, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now, what about, you are definitely an insider into this campground. So tell us, like somebody who's a little overwhelmed by 2,100 sites in many different areas of the campground, how can you kind of guide people towards planning their best stay at Pirateland?
Well, if you go to the Pirateland site, they have a map, and the map is very overwhelming, except where it breaks it down pretty accurately as far as there's a couple interior water lanes. And along those water lanes, if you go to – I don't think it would be the south. I think it would be the west of those lakes if you have the ocean oriented correctly. Those are more – the interior sites, they're a little more wooded. I personally think if you're going there for the ocean and you don't care that your air conditioning is going to run all day, all night, like in the summertime, what happened in 2016 is there was a hurricane. I don't remember what the name of it was, but it took out two rows of what had been seasonal sites.
Matthew, right? And Hurricane Matthew, I think, did that.
Probably, yes. Yeah, probably. And what they did is they got rid of those seasonal sites on, there was two different roads. It was the, let's see, Port Royal Trail and Long John Silver Trail. They've taken out the seasonals that were there, and they've made them into new campsites and new bathrooms. And so now you've got this new area that's been developed. It was, they were just putting in the sites when we were there in the spring. They've got these wonderful bathrooms. I mean, they're, Carrie Cox would totally approve of these bathrooms.
She's
got
to check them out.
Yeah, she's going to go right for the bathrooms, because they were like, we were all making trips to the bathroom. Not that we needed to, we just wanted to, because they were that cool. And so along those two streets I mentioned, Port Royal Trail and the Long John Silver Trail, there's brand new sites that are going in, like brand new cable, brand new plumbing. I would say go to those areas, because you're really just steps away from, you know, the beach itself. New bathroom facilities, and it's kind of a little more removed, so you don't have all of the through traffic that you do on the main thoroughfares that come through. Those would be my insider tips.
And that's a very good one. Go ahead.
I have one more. Like, if you have a camper and you're traveling with someone who doesn't have a camper, I would suggest, and you don't mind being on the bay, there's some sites from 1414 to 1426. Those are camping sites that you won't have anyone behind you. But there's two-bedroom and three-bedroom villas that are right near there that you could rent. So they're not quite buddy sites, but they're close enough that would be perfect for families that are having a gathering of some sort.
All right. Now, we know Pirate Land owns your heart, but we also know that nobody's perfect. So why don't you tell us what your wee little suggestion is?
Well, my wee little suggestion is, all right, we know that I'm a lawyer and I get nervous about things. One of the things I get nervous about is the main trail coming in. It's called the Pirate Land Trail. This is comes right from the main gate, goes right through the center of, well, one-third of the campground. There's a bridge. It's by the pool, by all the stuff. What makes me crazy is you have trucks pulling campers, motorhomes, people on golf carts, people walking, people on bicycles, people pushing strollers, cars, motorcycles, everything. And even though the speed limit is kind of low, it's just mass congestion coming through those thoroughfares. It would be nice if they had something to either divert the traffic or make bike and walking lanes a little separate from where the big trucks are coming through, because it makes me crazy and I can't watch because I just don't want to see it.
But I hate
to admit, driving
and
safety issue.
I'm crazy with the driving. Everybody that listens to the show knows that is the one thing that I cannot calm down about. So, all right. Tatiana, thank you for that just really insider review of the Pirate Land Campground. And you are going to tell us about your favorite things to do in the surrounding area. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Jayco. Top Line Comforts are sure to satisfy the entire family in the most diverse lineup of Eagle travel trailers and fifth wheels to date. Lavish finishes, a wide array of options, and premium standard features let you go seamlessly from exploration to relaxation with the flexibility to meet every demand in between, all with Jayco's 2-year limited warranty to follow you along the way. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. All right, let's talk about family fun, because Myrtle Beach is known for that. We've had a lot of fun in Myrtle Beach over the years. You're going to tell us about what your favorite things to do in the surrounding area are, right?
Well, you've talked about a lot of things. You've already stolen some of my thunder, but a couple of the different things that we always do is we always go to Broadway and the Beach, which is this, I don't know, playground for adults and children. There's restaurants and shops and activities like Zorba Balls on the Water. There's a jet boat ride. There's the zip lines and just all kinds of cool stuff. They also have a very nice microbrewery called Liberty Tavern. microbreweries are popping up, as you know, all over. And there's some other ones that have come up in town, the New South Brewing Company and the Gordon Biersch Brewing Company. Some place, you know, because beer has come up on the camping topic. So,
I know. And I wish we actually had that recommendation for the Liberty Tavern, because when we went to the Legends concert last time we were there, we had to eat in the Broadway at the Beach area just because of the timing of the whole thing. And honestly, there's a lot of restaurants there that are a little tourist trappy, you know, so we didn't wind up at a restaurant that we loved. And I would have been happy to have this recommendation there. So next time.
It's good beer. Like, you know, we often get a flight, you know, to try, and the food is good. The kids like it. And if you ask for seating that with a window, it looks over the water area at Broadway and the Beach, and the jet boats are, I think they're dispatched right next to there. So we're always watching out the windows to watch the jet boats spinning around, and it inspired us. We even did the jet boats this past year, and they were more fun than we could possibly handle.
Now, let me ask you, do you guys golf? Because we don't, and yet Myrtle Beach is like the golfing capital of the world.
It is the golfing capital of the world, and we do golf. Our kids are actually both on varsity golf teams. The funny thing is, we brought the clubs down this year, and I said to my husband, we have the camper, we have the truck. Of course we're going to bring the clubs, but the weather was so perfect, didn't want to leave the beach. So, you know, we could have. And there's some great places. And in fact, three of Golf Magazine's top 100 courses are located in Myrtle Beach. The Caledonia Golf Course is number 27. It's across the street from a newer one called True Blue. Both of these are phenomenal. And actually, the concierge service at Pirate Land will help you get tee times at both of those. The Dunes Golden Beach Club, which is a Robert Trent Jones senior course, which for people who golf, they'll understand what that means. And then there's the Barefoot Resort, which Barefoot is on the northern part of Myrtle Beach. And it's a little bit like Broadway on the Beach. They have a lot of restaurants. They have some entertainment shows, a lot of shopping, and a golf course. And the Barefoot Resort is that course was designed by Tom Fazio, Pete Dye, and Greg Norman. Again, golf people will understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm counting on
There's
it.
There's also, oh yeah. And it's also one of the cool things, we did do this because we did have time. Myrtle Beach is like the mini golf capital of the world too. You can't go a half a mile without running into a mini golf course. And some of them are quite elaborate. We have a few that we go to almost every time. And, you know, after a day at the beach, you got your suntan, you go out and you get your get dinner, go do a little mini golf. It's a perfect way to cap off the evening. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, it really is. There's something so quintessentially like just Americana about the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely. But with 100 actual full size golf courses, it really is the golf capital of probably the U.S., if not the world, because all courses, price ranges, abilities, pars, anything you're looking for, you're going to find one there.
Now, you already mentioned Merle's Inlet, which we enjoy usually having a nice dinner out down there at some point, once or twice during a stay, and down by the Marsh Walk, too. Do you have some favorite restaurants down there? There's a lot to choose from.
There are a lot to choose from. And we've tried a couple different ones. We have some favorites that the kids, I don't know if they just like to say the name or they really just enjoy the food that much, but one of them is called Drunken Jack's. And Drunken Jack's, it looks like it's been around for 100 years, and it might have been. But it's really cool because it overlooks the marsh area. Boats are coming up. There's a little island right outside that I swear to God, you have to go see it because there's goats on this little island. And at night, the goats get in the trees. And the first time we sat there Drunken Jack's, I looked at him like, is that a goat in a tree? And my husband looked at me like, I had been drinking too much. But I really wasn't. There was a goat in the tree. So it's now our big thing to look for the goats in the trees. There's another one, the Dead Dog Saloon. Another great, you know, family atmosphere. Very busy, very popular, great food. Almost always a wait to get into these places. But it's so worth it.
Yeah, so nice. I mean, it's you really have to kind of experience to know how nice it is to eat over that marsh, especially at like sunset, you know, as the sun goes down.
Gorgeous.
It's just magical. And you're like, oh yeah, this is why I'm vacationing here. It's always a moment for
Absolutely.
Me when we're down there. It feels, you know, it's like the way to get that Caribbean feel when you drove your RV, you mm-hmm. know, 11 yeah. hours from home for us.
Exactly. Exactly. You wonder like, I could retire doing this.
Yes.
I could do this.
Yes. And so many people do. And we always have that feeling. It's exactly yep. the conversation that happens now. You know, a lot of the places that people retire to, like for us, we'd be like, oh, well, that might not hit our sweet spot. But like, there's a lot of stuff in Myrtle Beach that does, or in that southern part of Myrtle Beach for sure. All right. Now, Tatiana, thank you so much for that review of the controversial and somewhat divisive Pirateland campground in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Thanks also to Progressive. Your RV is very different from your car, which is exactly why you need to get specialized RV insurance coverage instead of insuring under your auto policy. Find out all about specialized coverages so you're even more protected on the road. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV. Tatiana, I want to see you at the campground, and I kind of want to see you at the Pirateland campground. I'm going to be honest.
Well, the next time you go to Myrtle Beach, let me know.
All right. We're scheduling because it sounds like a good time with you guys at Pirateland. All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.